The Believer's Walk of Faith is paid for by Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers.
Faith is the master key. It'll open every door. It'll access every promise. And faith is what is needed to get you to the other side. Belief. It's only dependent on the Word of God. I believe it first, then I'm going to speak it. And I believe whatever I speak, it's going to come to pass. Keep your faith. Go back in the morning. Feed a little bit more. Feed in the middle of the day. You see yourself getting weak and talking crazy. Then feed your faith a little bit more. For you to get faith to work for you, you must bring your conversation, your thinking, your believing in line with your faith. And your faith says it's already done. Because nothing can stand against the Word of God. Situation awareness. For you to go somewhere, you're going to have to find out first where you are now. If you were in a city and you lost, and your cousin Chiquita, she's asking you, here's what she's going to ask you. Well, where are you now? You say, well, I'm at the corner of Hollywood and Vine, and there's a BP gas station on the corner. Oh, I know where you are. Okay, now go north. You see what I'm saying? Now, she's directing you to the house. And I'm telling you, for you to go and get mature faith, you're going to have to locate yourself right now. Make sense to you? All right, let me give you some of the faith that is existing in the Bible, and it's up to you to find out where you are. Not where you want to be. Don't lie to yourself. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5, please. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. Look what it says. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy of it that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus, and for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to one, this man go, and he goeth, to another come, and he cometh. And do my servant do this? And he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I've not found so, come on, say it with me, great faith, no, not in Israel. So there is great faith. You can have faith that you don't need anybody to come to the house. You can have faith that you don't need to go to the hospital. You can speak the word from right where you are. Come on now. Let's go to another one here. 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, say unfeigned faith. Unfeigned. Now, I told you last night, unfeigned faith is a faith that one man said that unfeigned faith is faith that's legitimate. I say it's more than that. It's absolute trusting faith. It's faith where your total confidence is in the power and the wisdom of Almighty God. That you're leaning not to personalities or anything, but it's absolute confidence in God. The unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that is in you what? Also. Look what he's doing. He's passing down faith just like you pass down an inheritance. Say amen to that. Amen. And folks, you need to be teaching your kids faith. Yes. Say amen to that. Yes. And so forth. So let's go to another one here. Let's go to James chapter 1, please. And verse 5. James chapter 1 and verse 5. Now you can locate yourself here because we talked about unfeigned faith. This is that bulldog faith. Can I use that term, bulldog? We're talking about great faith, okay? Now, like I said, I'm not talking about where you want to be. I'm talking about where you are right now. And look what it says here in verse 5. Verse 5. And he said, if any of you like wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, come on, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Keep going. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Wavering faith. Somebody in here has had wavering faith. Now we're getting you out of this, but I just want you to locate yourself. Because we can't, you know, I'm calling you now on the phone. I'm saying, where are you? I'm over here by the dog track. Okay, come on, I'm over there. And come on down here and go north with me. All right? Let's go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And look at verse 22. Seest thou hath how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Perfect faith. Perfect faith is mature faith. That's what it means. Your faith is mature. Glory to God. Let's go to another one. Let's go to James chapter 2, verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? And heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him. Rich faith. Rich faith. Lord have mercy. Let's go to Acts chapter 6, please. And verse 1. And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring among the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And then the twelve called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, is it not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables? Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among them seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we have appointed over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man, what? Full of faith. That's the kind of person you need to run with. You need to run with somebody that is full of faith. You know, when you're full of faith and somebody says something crazy, out of your mouth will come a faith statement. Are you with me here? And you ought to be like that. You ought to have a hair trigger. You ever heard of a hair trigger on a gun? It's like as soon as you hit that trigger, that thing is going off. So you ought to be ready when somebody says something like, you know, girl, you got what I had. No, oh, no. And look at Matthew 14, verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. The disciples saw him walking on the sea. They were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for what? Fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. And he said, what? Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, what? Lord, come on, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? So doubt can really wipe out your faith. I said, when you're in the midst of a miracle, don't doubt. Stay right there with the program. Say amen to that. Let's go to one more. Let's go to Mark's gospel. And I think you know this one. Mark chapter 4, please. And in Mark chapter 4, look what happened when he said in verse 35. In the same day, when the evening was come, he said to them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they said to him, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, what? Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so what? Fearful. How is it that you have no faith? Man. Now that might be where some people are right now. But let's start with where Abraham was. I'm going to just cover a couple more things and I'll let you go. Let's go to Romans chapter 4, please. See, the world system is in trouble and they're going to need your faith. I said the world system is in trouble and they're going about to need your faith. So we must develop our faith. They can't develop it because they don't have any. All right, look what it said in verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not, come on, as though they were. All right, let's just deal with that for just a minute, because God calls things that what? Be not as though they were. All right. Why is he saying that? In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, it makes a profound statement. He says, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Now, people have taken that and done all kinds of things with it. But here's what he's trying to do. He's trying to let you know that one day is with God like a thousand years. Or 50,000 years. Makes no difference. Why? Because God lives in the eternal now. Now, hold on, I'm going to explain it just a minute. With God, there is no time as we know it. There is none. So because there's no time as we know it, then he can't measure things with time. So it's all eternal. There is no time in it. So whenever you pray, you believe you receive now. Because whenever you receive, whether it's today or tomorrow, it's still now with God. Because he lives in the now. There is no other time. There is no future. There's no past. Because he's always now. He's ever present. He is now. Got it? Now, if you start understanding this and know that God has no tomorrow, then you'll start taking your language and developing it based on an eternal language versus a temporal language. See, I'm going to be healed. That has time. But when he gave Abraham his name, he said, Your name is Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made you. In other words, call yourself Abraham. Abraham means father of a multitude. Where is the multitude? The multitude in Abraham's life was in his future, but not with God, because God has no future. So as far as God is concerned, he saw Abraham with the multitude now. Got it? So for Abraham to get the action of what was already in heaven into his life, he was going to have to call things that be not as though they were. Come on, come on now. See, I know you may be feeling some sickness in your body, but according to heaven, the eternal reality, you're not going to be healed. You are healed. And for you to get heaven to come to earth, you've got to agree with it. Agree means to confess. It means you've got to say, I am healed, before you ever feel anything going on in your body. And you know and I know, Shaquita and them are not going to understand that. Your cousin's not going to understand it. Come on. Nope. Jesus showed up at Jairus' house. Here's what he said. She's not dead. She just sleep. And they start laughing at him. Now, they were crying before he got there. And he put them all out. Say amen. But this is the way faith works, because faith has no time. It is always present tense. And it's present tense because it's a God kind of faith. And how God sees you is what faith says about you. And for you to get faith to work for you, you must bring your conversation, your thinking, your believing in line with your faith. And your faith says, it's already done. Your faith says, I'm already healed. Your faith says, plenty of money in my bank account. Your faith says, that house is already mine. Your faith says, are you following what I'm saying? My wife and I, when I told you I was reading off those things about my wife and those prayers, every one of them were present tense. Father, I thank you. My wife is a virtuous woman, always does me good as long as there's life within her. Now, this is when we first got married, this 30 years ago. Look, and the enemy's trying to point out things about my wife, but I took the word of God, because the word of God is agreeing with God. It doesn't have time. My wife is a virtuous woman, always doing me good as long as there's life within her. Bread of idleness, gossip, discontent, and self-pity she'll not eat. He gets up early, gets spiritual food for the house, and assigns her maids their task. That does not neglect her present duties by assuming others. She opens her mouth with skillful and godly wisdom. In her tongue is the law of kindness. She gives counsel and instruction. She looks well on how things are in our household. And the word is working mighty in our marriage. We've been transferred into the image of Jesus by the renewing of our minds. And my mind would say, that ain't true. It is true. Say amen. Amen. Now, it may not be a fact right now, but it is true. And your truth is going to take the fact and change it to line up with heaven's reality. Now that'll happen in your ministry. That'll happen in your marriage. That'll happen in your money. That'll happen in your business. That'll happen anywhere, because if something is not lined up with the way God says it in heaven, bring it in line. Praise God. Folks, before it's all over, everything is going to line up with heaven. Praise God. Everything in this earth going to line up with heaven in the name of Jesus. So, God lives in the eternal now. Now, let's look at one more verse that goes along with that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Glory to God. Chapter 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Now, inside of you is a inside of your body is a spirit. That's the real you. And your spirit knows this, because heaven is your spirit's home or reality. It was come out of God. You have eternity in your heart. Got it? Now, look what it says. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, that's your body. Our inward man is renewed, what? Day by day. That's your spirit. Remember what I said, faith doesn't come out of your head. What does it come out of? Your heart, your spirit. Your spirit, the force of faith comes out of your spirit. Next verse. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are what? Temporal. Temporal. Temporal down here. Look at my hands. Watch my hands. See that line right there I'm drawing with my line? Above that is eternal. No time. Below that is time. Temporal. What does the devil try to keep you? Temporal. Why? Because if you're in time, he can control you. You got to come up out of time. So I understand the doctor said this is going to take 8 months to heal and so forth like that. But you got to say, Doc, I'm going up above time. By his stripes. Come on, you got to lay it down now. Because professionals don't understand this. They've been trained in their way. God bless them. Thank God for doctors. If it wasn't for doctors, a lot of Christians would be dead. But my point to you is there's a way that we can live that stuff won't even cling to us. All right, now I want to start this just one more time here at verse 17. Verse 17, just one more time. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen. Now notice what the devil will try to do. Get you to look at the things that are happening to you. See? Instead of looking past that to the word.
Right.
See? And while we look not at the things that are what? Seen, natural eye, but at the things that are what? Not seen, the word of God. For the things that are seen are what? Temporal. Are subject to change. But the things that are not seen are eternal. So I can take something you can't see and I can make it replace something you can see. And as long as I look at something that I can see with my natural eyes, marriage problems, so forth and so on, and not looking at that word, my tendency is to say what I see. And when I say what I see, I'm gonna get more of what I got. But what I need to do is reverse that. I need to not say what I see, but say what he said. And if I say what he said, what I see is going to have to change. Because nothing can stand against the word of God. Well, I trust that you are blessed by this powerful teaching. Now, that's from the Faith Refresher 2013. Now, today's message was Growing in Faith. Now, it's part of a three-disc series. Now, here's a point you want to remember. Your believing, your thinking, your speech must always line up for your faith to work. In other words, Anytime you're walking by faith, faith says it's already done. So my thinking, my believing, and my speech must line up with that. It's got to say, I am already healed. By his stripes, I was healed. Praise the Lord for faith to work. Now, our announcer is going to give you some important information on how you can order this powerful series of faith refresher teachings, and I'll be right back. Faith is the master key. It'll open every door. It'll access every promise. And faith is what is needed to get you to the other side. Bible belief is only dependent on the Word of God. I believe it first, then I'm gonna speak it. And I believe whatever I speak, it's gonna come to pass. Keep your faith. Go back in the morning, feed a little bit more. Feed in the middle of the day, you see yourself getting weak and talking crazy, then feed your faith a little bit more. And for you to get faith to work for you, you must bring your conversation, your thinking, your believing in line with your faith. And your faith says it's already done. Because nothing can stand against the Word of God.
Build your faith with a force that takes your victory in Pastor Winston's powerful three-disc series, Faith Refresher 2013. To order on CD or DVD, simply write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois, 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327. Or online at billwinston.org. Discover the master key that opens every door and has access to every promise when it explodes with power from the Word of God in Faith Refresher 2013. Order Faith Refresher today.
Now, there's a natural tendency for us as we come into the kingdom of God to say what we see. Now, that's all right if you want more of what you see. But we're designed to walk by faith. And faith says only what God says. Because if you say what God says, his word is powerful enough to change what you see into what you've just said. Praise God. Did you follow that? Glory to God. Well, this is Bill Winston. You know, we love you, and we want you to tune in next time. So until next time, keep walking by faith.